Our next speaker is Dr. Heidi Seto from TUI University here in Orange County, California.
Thank you. I have no disclosures to make. What are the predictors of foodborne outbreaks at restaurants? This is one of the questions that this study addressed. This study also asked, what is the relationship between foodborne outbreaks at restaurants and prior food handling violations? And by this, we're referring to violations that occurred prior to an outbreak. And also the relationship with organizational culture. And by this, we're referring to the norms, values, and beliefs that shape behavior. And also the relationship with food, specifically the sources, the types, and the quantities. And finally, the number of customers. For this study, we examined restaurants in Los Angeles County, and it was during the study period of 2004. And there were two approaches used in the study. There was a historical cohort study that was used for data that had been previously collected, such as routine restaurant inspection data, and a case control study. And this design was used specifically for data that had not been previously collected. And for the historical cohort, we reviewed violations that occurred prior to an outbreak. It was all restaurants in Los Angeles County. For the case control, we collected additional data from about 463 randomly selected restaurants that were stratified by the size and also the risk rating. And the analysis that was used for both designs was bivariate, and we also used primarily logistic regression for the historical cohort design. For the case control, the primary multivariate analysis method was structural equation modeling, but we also used logistic regression for data that had not been included in the structural equation modeling analysis. And the next series of slides summarizes the key results found from the statistical analysis. Sanitizing violations was found to be significantly associated with outbreaks, and this refers to improper sanitization of kitchen utensils and food contact surfaces, for example, if they're lacking a sanitizing solution. And restaurants with these violations were found to be about 1.98 times more likely to have an outbreak in multivariate analysis than restaurants without these violations. And this lack of sanitization can allow for pathogens to remain and cause further contamination. Another factor that was found associated with outbreaks was ownership type. Corporations were found to be most associated with outbreaks, followed by franchises and privately owned restaurants at multiple sites. The likelihood of an outbreak was about 4.89 times more likely among corporations in comparison to restaurants that were privately owned at single sites. Restaurants that were franchises and privately owned at multiple sites had about a 2.8 times greater risk of an outbreak than ones that were at privately owned at single sites. And why is this? Well, corporations may have more employees and possibly the employees may be less interested or connected to the interests of ownership. And also, corporations may possibly have less pride in ownership than possibly the mom-and-pop type restaurants. And this slide summarizes some of the food preparation styles associated with outbreaks. We found that buffets had about a 3.14 times higher risk of an outbreak in multivariate analysis than restaurants that did not have buffets. And restaurants that had advanced food preparation, full service, and restaurants that did not have fast food had about a 2 times greater risk of an outbreak. And why this is possibly some possible explanations may have to do with the complexity of the food preparation. When you have buffets and advanced food preparation, they tend to have more menu items, and that may increase the potential for violations. With fast food, they tend to be more streamlined and less complex. With menu size, we found that restaurants that had greater than 75 food items had about a 4.58 times greater risk of an outbreak than restaurants that had about 20 items or less. And again, restaurants that have many menu items may be more likely to have certain violations, such as holding foods at room temperature. And here's some good news for those trying to beat the recession. We found that the higher the risk of the entree price, the greater the risk of the outbreak. And we actually found 1.5 times greater risk for each $5 increase in price. And again, this may have to do with the complexity of the food preparation. As the price goes up, possibly the complexity of the food preparation processes also increase. And this slide summarizes some of the foods associated with outbreaks. Shell eggs, greater than one case, receiving those actually had a risk of an outbreak of about 2.4 times greater risk than restaurants that did not have shell eggs. And pooling eggs had a risk of about 1.86 times higher. And this involves combining multiple eggs. Theoretically, you're allowing a single contaminated egg to contaminate a larger pool. And we also found that serving raw produce and receiving raw produce was also more associated with outbreaks. And raw produce, it's consistent with studies where raw produce is finding to become a common vehicle of food transmission. We also found that serving raw beef and raw seafood was also more associated with outbreaks. And that's also consistent with some studies where we found that pathogens have frequently been found in animal products. And this slide summarizes the risk of an outbreak associated with receiving different quantities of raw meat. You see on the bottom the amount received, and on the left, the axis, odds ratio. And as you can see, as the quantity of meat increased, so did the risk of the outbreak. And this was highest for raw beef, and it was lowest for raw pork. And finally, another factor associated with outbreaks was having a higher number of customers. We found that as the number of customers increased, so did the risk of the outbreak. The number of customers, it was actually about 1.24 times greater risk for each additional 50 customers. And this is consistent with a number of studies. And why is this? Well, restaurants that have more customers tend to have more meals, a greater volume of high-risk food, a larger number of susceptible individuals, and more food handlers. And this slide summarizes a structural equation modeling analysis that was used to develop the model. First, we built measurement models, and the measurement models refer to variables that are not directly measured, like the ones in the circles, food violations and raw food served. And we built them based on theory and evaluated them with confirmatory factor analysis. We found that 6 achieved model fit, and this was based on model chi-square, root mean square, error of approximation, and the comparative fit index. Then we built a structural model. We tested a number of models. First, we started with a backwards approach and had included all 6 measurement models, but found that we did not achieve model fit. So we tried a forward approach. And the model that you see here achieved model fit, and it's based on a non-significant chi-square, a root mean square error of approximation of less than 0.06. So this model here represents the model that achieved model fit, and the rectangles represent variables that are directly measured. The numbers here you see are the path coefficients, or strength of effect, and from this you can see that foodborne outbreaks, direct predictors of foodborne outbreaks, were number of customers, food violations, and raw food served. So how does this apply to public health? Well, you can theoretically obtain a probability for a specific restaurant by plugging in values for these different variables and identify those restaurants that pose the highest risk to public health. And health departments can target those interventions towards these high-risk restaurants. Okay. In summary, structural equation modeling is an effective tool for estimating the risk of an outbreak at a specific restaurant. We identified a number of significant relationships that were not previously studied, such as variables relating to the organizational culture and certain types of food. This also represents the first study in which a model has been developed for predicting outbreaks at restaurants. And results can be used by regulatory agencies in setting standards, for example, additional controls for buffets and for advanced food preparation. This model may also be used to identify and target high-risk restaurants. You can embed this model into an application that can estimate the probability of an outbreak for specific restaurants and target interventions towards these high-risk restaurants. And additional studies are recommended to further define these relationships. And with a model such as this, we can strengthen the scientific basis of risk decisions within government. And I'd like to thank everybody who was on my committee and Los Angeles County for the data collection. I also, if you have any questions, here's my contact.
Thank you, Heidi. Questions?
Well, with beef, we found a high risk. With poultry, there weren't as many restaurants that served raw poultry, so we actually didn't have enough numbers to actually look at poultry separately. So beef came up, but poultry, we didn't have enough to either conclude or one way or the other.
So poultry didn't come out as a risk factor?
Yeah, there
just
weren't
poultry in general.
As many,
cooking.
Yeah, there weren't as
not
many
raw,
restaurants that actually served raw poultry to really analyze it.
No, but not raw. I'm talking about
yeah,
poultry
raw.
In general. Poultry.
Oh, poultry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, poultry, the slide that we had with poultry, I don't recall the numbers, but the number with poultry, I believe, was, these are some of the statistically significant ones. With poultry, we had a number, I think there was an association with outbreaks, but it varied a lot. With poultry, I don't recall the specific numbers, but I don't know. That's something that we should probably have further examination on that. But poultry does pose a great risk, but beef did come up pretty high. We didn't have enough data to confirm about the poultry, though.
So maybe it's related to some of those other factors that you talked about in terms of the cleanliness and number of violations, et cetera. Yeah. Any other questions there and then there?
Yeah, we looked at training like managers. We looked at different training. That did not come up significant. We looked at actually about almost 100 variables. So we narrowed down. This is actually only the top, the key results. There was a whole slew of results that I wasn't able to present in the time period.
One more.